All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll commence our message for this morning. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for that wonderful gift you have given us, Lord, to be able to commune with you, to know that you are a real and living God. And Father, that our prayers are a time that is a sweet hour for us to know, Lord, our cares and concerns can be given to you. But not just that, Lord, that we can thank you and praise you for the wonderful things you've done for us. And as we come before your word now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister its grace and truth to our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're not already in Isaiah 26, you'd like to turn there. Our text for today is only two verses. That's verses 3 and 4. And I'll read those again in a moment. But the question asked this morning is, how can I have God's peace? How can I have God's peace? Because if there's one thing we all need, it is to have our Lord's peace. You know, time seems to be flying by these days. If you look at it, time just disappears so quickly and a bit quicker than last year. And I think it's not that long, is it? 33 weeks to Christmas, amen? So that's how quick time is going. There you go. But a lot of people carry with them the same fears and worries and anxieties they might have had 2 or 3 years ago. And for them, it all seems like just yesterday when they arrived. And we can be going along our merry way. We can be doing all the things we need to do. We can push on in life and move forward. And then suddenly one day, you just don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't have the same motivation you may have had last week. And the problems and the concerns that have plagued you for so long, they're back again like it was just yesterday. You went through them all and all of a sudden they're here again. And there starts a real uneasiness, a restlessness within, and all you want to do is be at ease. All you want to have is God's peace in your life. You see, but true peace, God's peace, is only found from the presence of God being real in our daily lives. You see, the key element to true lasting peace is the presence of God. So what is this peace? Well, it's that inner sense of quietness and contentment regardless of life circumstances. It's a steadfast confidence in our ever faithful, never changing, ever present Heavenly Father. It is the joy, the presence of joy in the midst of great unhappiness. You see, true peace doesn't just paint our pain with a nice colour and make it a little bit easier to handle. A person who has genuine godly peace can endure no matter how hard or how big the hardship or difficulty may be that they're in, and still enjoy that inner peace that the Lord said he gives to us that passes all understanding. And we may ask why? Because this peace doesn't come from pleasant circumstances. It doesn't come from life being good at the moment or nice events or the good things people might do to us or for us. Instead, this peace is based on the fact that the spirit of a holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God who never changes lives within the believer. Now, does enjoying God's perfect peace mean we're never going to feel the effects of life's storms? I don't think so. But his peace is complete, and it's adequate, it's sufficient for anything we may face. Now we're going to look at three major keys to experiencing the God's sustained peace in our life. And the first one will be we focus on God. Secondly, we trust in God. And thirdly, we meditate on God's word. Look at verses. Our text today is just verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What a position to be in. What a wonderful promise this is. Now, many people wonder why they want to claim God's promise in the Bible, and yet the promise may not be for them. You see, God's promises are not for everybody. We see here today the promises here for God's peace are for those who have stayed upon him. It's for those who are trusting in him. He will give them his peace. In fact, in 1 John 3:22, whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. We wonder why our prayers aren't getting answered sometimes, and yet we're not keeping his commandments and we're not doing the things pleasing in his sight. They're the conditions. God wants us to surrender to him so he can provide all we need in this world we live in. Now, first point, focus on God. Verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, the human mind is a strange thing. It controls our bodily functions, our talking, our walking, our running, our speaking, our ability to communicate. It also holds on to many memories and images. It also has the ability to think. And it can take all those memories and all those images, all the human functions, and roll them around and around and around. Now, sometimes that's a very good thing, especially when you're working and sorting things out and you run things through your mind a few times. You get a picture of your next step or your next decision. Sometimes it's not such a good thing, especially when we begin to dwell on the past events, the past worries or the concerns that have happened. The worries of tomorrow shouldn't be a concern for us. We're to live today. And a lot of how a person responds to life comes from who or what they're thinking about, what they allow to go on up here in the mind. And it doesn't take much for a person's imagination to run away with them. The worries, the circumstance of their lives just seem to be getting bigger and bigger the more they think about them. And before long, they're overwhelmed and they're dragged down because they can't see anything good coming out of it. There's no rest or there's no peace because their focus is on the problem. Their focus has been placed on the circumstances instead of placing them on their great and mighty God. You know, they say there's calmness in the eye of the storm. When a hurricane's raging all around, the center or the eye is usually fairly calm. And it's the very same for the Christian in the storms of life. If the Lord is the center of our life, there will be calm and peace no matter how much is raging on around us. God has promised perfect peace to those who have their mind stayed upon him. And that word stay is to hold in place, to stop something moving. You notice one day when you're driving along and you have a good look at the power lines at the end of every line, it's stayed back. It's held in place. It's anchored down. And our minds are to be anchored on the Lord Jesus Christ and the things he has done for us, the victory he has given. And if we want to claim the promises of God, we need to look at those promises and see what they mean to us. Am I someone who is pleasing in his sight? Am I someone who loves him because he knows that because I obey his commandments? You see, he is the perfect God, and from him the only peace we can get is perfect peace. Because it's his peace. And it's a great thing to know God doesn't have any conflicts going on with himself, amen, not like a lot of us. He doesn't have to battle with right and wrong like we do. The only time we do something right is when we're not doing something wrong. Amen. God doesn't have that problem. He doesn't have that problem at all. God is a real person. God's a living person. He has emotions. He has a mind. He has intellect. He has will. He has relationships outside of himself. He is three persons in one. Perfect peace is in him because there's harmony in his life. Judgment never conflicts with feelings with God. He never struggles with desires like we do. God is perfect love, and from him comes the perfect peace we need to live the life we live here on this earth. And this peace comes from above. God is above. You know, we often think to ourselves in the middle of trials, if I could just get above these circumstances, I'll be right. Well, God is above our circumstances. He isn't in the mess. He's above them. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's the one who can see the end from the beginning. And our firm hope, when we're not to be afraid of what's going on, of evil or anything else, because there's no conflicts within when we trust on our Saviour. That peace comes from above, and we don't have to be in heaven to experience God's peace. God gives it to those whose mind has been stayed upon him. It's a wonderful thing to know he's watching over us. Just like a school teacher watching over their pupils, concerned with the child's problems, the work that they do at school. The teacher helps the pupil who, if they listen to the teacher, will work through them in the right way. And that's how God treats his children. If we focus on him and who he is, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, Jehovah God, we will come to have the perfect peace he talks about. It's a bit like the weather. I remember Deborah and I once, we were flying from Auckland, from Wellington in New Zealand, coming back to Australia. And the plane was late, very late. So we had to fly through the middle of a storm. And the plane was being bounced around. It was quite scary because all the oxygen masks dropped with one of the big turmoils that we went through. And I'm thinking, this is the end now. It's all over. I think I grabbed Deborah's mask. But once they got clearance to go through, the other air traffic had cleared, we went through all this lightning and thunder, and here's this beautiful sunset, calm, peaceful. We were above the storm. And God's above the storm of our life. And when we focus on him, get our mind stayed upon who he is, meditate on his word, read his word, take it into our hearts, we have that peace. We're above the storm, even though we're right in the middle of it. You see, God is reachable. He's not at a distance. He's near, and there's no barrier between you and him if you're a believer. And as you walk in obedience to his will, there's nothing he will not do for you. But now in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:13 tells us, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The first step to peace, focus on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. You see, it's about fixing our thoughts on him. See, it's allowing him to sustain you, to support you, to strengthen your spirits. You know, he's the only one with the strength that enables you and me to bear up under the burdens that we face. And we have to admit it, living on this earth can be a burden. Family life can be a burden. Marriage can be a burden. Raising children can be a burden. It's hard work. And God's calling out to us, place yourself into my hands. Look to me and I'll sustain you. I'll give you the peace you need to get through this life. That's why Paul, he says, I beseech you. He's imploring the believers in Rome, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he warned him, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, as we study the Word of God, as we take the Word of God into our hearts, it's not just there for us to earn some points. It's not just so that we know every jot and tittle. When we study the Word of God, when we look into the Word of God, we need to be asking and praying and saying to God, God, show me through your Word what your will and your purpose is for my life, what your will and purpose is for my wife and my children and our family. And when he shows you, and he will if you're earnest, then you apply that and you be obedient to what he asks you to do, and that perfect peace will fill your mind. And you will know you are walking in the will of God. We're to focus on God. Secondly, we've got to trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, that trusting in the Lord, that's just simple term as that is I'm going to have confidence in who he is. That's trust. That's that we're sure of God and his love for us and his care for us. You know, and God's peace comes to us as we lean upon him and his ways, not ours, but his ways. His ways are sure, his ways are true. You know, he'll never lead us astray. All the directions of God lead to one place, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a life that draws close to him, desiring to be like him, to be conformed to him, will be one that places all its trust and hopes in the great God that we serve and love. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, all Christians know this, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. See, you want your paths directed by the Lord? See, if you're a Christian who trusts in him, you can claim that promise. Psalm 7:1 says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Psalm 56:3, very short verse. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You see, whenever, wherever, however daunting the circumstances of our lives may be, at that time we trust him. Because that's the time he's using to draw us closer to himself. And we're to reach out, we're to acknowledge him, we're to call on him, and the promise we have, Jeremiah, remember he's shut up in prison. And the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, your God is a trustworthy God. I was reading of a small boy. He'd gone to the beach and he saw this woman sitting under an umbrella, and she was a matronly looking woman, and she had a Bible in her hand and she was reading her Bible. And he went up to her and he says, are you a Christian? And she said, yes, I am. He says, do you read your Bible every day? She said, yes, I do. Do you pray often? And she said, yes, each day. And then he asked his final question, will you hold my dollar while I go swimming? You see, the greatest way that we can build our trust in the Lord is to be in his word every day. It doesn't take long to read a couple of chapters a day, to read a psalm before you go to sleep at night. Trust him, pray to him every day. Oh, I don't know how to pray. Just thank him for who he is. Look up his names. Get a dictionary that explains the names of God and thank him for every name that you find in the Bible, who he is. Your sweet hour of prayer will be done in no time. You see, the more that we communicate with God, the more we're able to trust him wholly. And notice in that verse, we're called to trust him forever. Are you trusting in your salvation, that your eternal life will end up in glory? Amen. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see, that word there means to trust him continually under all conditions. Even when sometimes trust seems to have no foundations, and we can trust in him no matter what. You see, our trust isn't in foundations, it's in God himself. There are three things we cannot trust in. First, we cannot keep on trusting if our trust is in things. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "For the fashion of this world passeth away." Matthew 6:19 tells us, "Lay not up treasures for yourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Listen, too often things don't go according to our plans. And true trust can be placed only in the Lord. I had a good friend of mine. I hadn't seen him for probably 20 years or so. And I seen him one day. And I said, "How's things going?" And he said, "Oh, not too good." I said, "What happened?" He said, "You know, I've lost everything." I said, "What do you mean you lost everything?" He says, I put every single thing I had into the, you might remember the HIH super scheme, old Christopher Skase. And he took all the money out and ran off with it and left thousands and thousands of people with nothing. This friend of mine had nothing whatsoever. He wouldn't look to the Lord. He just said, "At 60, I've got to start working again." Now, if we just look at this world and the state that is in, come on, do you really trust in it? Can you really trust in this world today? Not a hope, not a chance. We were talking last night with one of our sisters in the Lord, and look at the scams that go on. Australia in 4 months has been scammed $3 billion. All through the click of a button. You can't trust anyone. And we will never learn to trust the Lord properly if we trust in things. Because the bottom line, that's all they are, is things. Secondly, we cannot keep on trusting if our trust is in man. Do you know one of the greatest pains in life is our disappointments in the friends we love, our families that just seem to go astray. And the older a person lives, the more likely a person is going to be alone. Now, some friends have changed, some friends have gone on to eternity, some have proved unworthy. And Isaiah 2:22 tells us, "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" Yes, we have friends. Yes, we put some sort of trust in them. But our ultimate trust is to be in God, not man. The greatest hope, the greatest trust we have is knowing that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. We will always have him as our friend, the best friend we will ever have. 1 Samuel 7:8 says, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God." That's where we go. Thirdly, we cannot keep on trusting if our trust is in self. You know, the older we get, the more truth there is to knowing that our life is but a vapor. And the only one in whom we can truly trust is God. Why do you think us men, when we get to 70, are still chopping down trees like we're 20? We wear out. We're not going to make it. Our minds may think we're young, but we're not. We can't trust in ourselves. There's only one in whom we can trust, and that's our God. You see, when we were young, we all had confidence in what we could do. But as we grow older, we know and we learn that only He and He alone can save us. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now we can keep on trusting, but only if our trust is in the Lord God. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, our verse says. He's our strength. One commentator said, For he is what he was, he will be what he is and has ever been. See, he's the everlasting rock upon which we build our lives. You look down through church history, you look down through all through the Bible as well, you scour everything to do, and you will see that time and time again, there has never been a failure on God's part. He has been proved right every single time. Secure and blessed are the ways of all those who put their trust in Him. So to have God's peace, we must focus on God, trust in God, and lastly, we must meditate on God's Word. Psalm 119:165 says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, here's another promise here. This assures us that those that love God's Word have great peace. Those that love God's Word has nothing to cause them to stumble. See, God's Word is the steady influence that's needed in the home. Men, it's your responsibility to bring your wife and your children up in the ways of the Lord. That's not mum's responsibility alone. That stands with the husband, the father. That's his job. When a person loves his word, instead of being struggled in the mind, the mind's at peace. Instead of trusting in other things, they trust in God, and the person's soul is at peace. And our duty is clear, and then we can do it free of the stumbling blocks that the devil and this world wants to place in front of us. Don't forget the three powerful evils we have to deal with is the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, here in this verse, the point is those who steady themselves with the Word of God have a sure support in times of danger and the times of temptation. Now, there are two ways to a knowledge and a use of God's Word steadies us. First, it braces us up. Now, if you put a shelf on the wall and just put a few tacks in there and start putting stuff on it, it's going to collapse if there's no braces underneath us. And when we become familiar with God's Word, it braces up our principles. We reject the wrong in life and we take on the right in life. We brace up our moral nature that leads to good health, good energy. Our mind is braced with a knowledge of God's wisdom, not our own wisdom. Our hearts are braced with His love, not just our worldly love. And life takes on the right motives, godly motives, Christ-like motives. And Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, God's Word steadies. See, this is what we lean on. That's what steadies us. I I remember once, you know, Brother Gilbert Anger, he was preaching away and he got his Bible, he just threw it on the floor and stood on top of it. And people were horrified. And then he said to him, well, what are you standing on? He stood on the Word of God. And so should we. See, when a person loves his Word, and instead of being struggled, we see our duty is clear and we're free of the stumbling blocks this life puts in our way. See, God's wisdom is braced with a knowledge of who He is, and our hearts are set right. When the times of testing comes, we stand firm upon His Word. You know, when a ship is at sea or a pilot's flying a plane, do you know they always have to consult the charts that they have? They just don't hop in a ship or a plane and just fly off somewhere. They go from point A to point B to point C to point D. They consult their charts. And in our lives, as we go through lives, here's our chart, the Word of God, and we're to consult it. And nothing could be more important for a Christian to have God's peace than to consult the Word of God and know exactly where they stand. You know, it's absolutely important that we understand and keep a sense of the authority of God's Word as the absolute final appeal that we can lean on. Do you know, everything in here is absolute truth. It has either happened, is happening, or is going to happen. It has never failed. How do we finish this off? Well, how can I have the peace of God? Well, as we said, one, focus on Him. Fix our mind upon God. To do that, we've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to meditate on His presence and the work of His arm in our life. And let me ask you something. When we set our sights upon the problem we face, doesn't that problem get bigger? It's exactly the same if we have a greater sense of God's presence and provision. He will become bigger and bigger in our life. Secondly, we had to trust Him. You know, it's the one thing about God, you never have to worry whether He's late or early. He's always on time. Always providing the sufficient help that we need. They're perfect. And it is a blessing, and we may not think it, but it is a blessing that He uses the tribulations that we go through to reveal more of Himself to us. And if we look at our trials that way, what a wonderful thing they are to us. You see, His Word is full of rock-solid promises, many which say He will give us His peace. Lastly, we had to meditate on His Word. Listen, the most precious, most valuable material possession any believer has in this world is your Bible. Forget about the rest. Every believer should love this Word of God. We should be feasting on it every day. And if we love it, then we're going to believe what it says. And if that's true, then it will be our guide and the anchor of our lives. And the true peace of God is the fruit of oneness with God. Do you trust Him? Do you love Him? Do you believe in Him? If you do, He shall surely give you His peace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have the peace of our Lord available to us in our hearts and minds. May we rise above the petty disturbances that want to put us off track, that want to draw us away from your perfect will for us. And may we stay ourselves upon our great and mighty Saviour, knowing he has gone before us. He has taken our sins upon his body on that tree, shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And Lord, may we not get caught up in the fleshly ways of this world, but we stay our hearts and minds upon you, always remembering that you've gone before us and that where you are, we shall be. Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.